This is the 1UP Radio Network, and now GFW Radio.
This Spartan suit smells of McDonald's and ashtrays, but the cosplay beauties are calling and, unfortunately, only men in uniform have a shot, or so I'm told. BMX gear spray painted green, since fancy schmancy duds are a dead giveaway.
Fetishes aren't for sale in this freak show. If you didn't duck it, they won't fuck it, or so I'm told. And all the while I'm waiting for Chris Hansen and his Dateline camera crew to come crawling out from under the costumes and interview me as if I'm not, you know, gussied up in a gimp suit and pretending to pass muster as a spaceman. Ain't nobody cosplays as a six-legged SimCity building with a TV antenna on top. That's right, I've got you made. And I've got to get Aunt Gertie's tracheotomy amplifier going again before I'm found out for a fraud.
Asphyxiation might make this fantasy final. I say that's Luna, and she's no small moon. A whopper wearing a fanny pack, only it's halfway unzipped and showing skin. It's hollowed out and yet it's still stuffed full.
It's a dadgum gun girdle is what it is. These waist belts happen to hang right where the girth rests, so give them a false front and voila, fucking lie. You're camouflaging the gun as a great wad of cash. She calls me Cyrax. Nice Cyrax costume, she says, except I'm Master Chief, not Mortal Kombat, damn it. No more than a Bobo is Goro with a Death Star, a moon, and a counterfeit fanny purse. She aims to mingle and mix, and in my head I hear Akbar hollering, it's a trap, it's a trap. Besides, I've got three arms, not four. This is neither what I wanted, nor what my ego's paying the price for. Is it cosplay or is it Craigslist? The shiny Call of Duty commercial or the shit I saw on my TV? Is it Liberty City or is it death? And if the latter, then where's the confounded quick load key for this whole fucking catastrophe? And when I'm all head up, it hits me. Really, what am I so ashamed of? Like these looky-loos in silk Spider-Man shirts have reason to laugh. They're just jealous. Their gal's on the make, and I'm on the prowl. Misfit Chief chasing Cortanis and Ortus and Leia Organis. Working the sci-fi fantasy buffet line while pork-bellied Goku suck in their guts and growl. As if willpower worked like a Bowflex and will instigate a Scion transformation. They're better off strapping belts across their man boobies in homage to Omano-san. Fall before my cardboard plasma sword and hail to the chief!
Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for May 1st, 2007. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Games for Windows, the official magazine, and I'm here with the other four official editors, and they are
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
Sean Elliott,
and Sean Malloy.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi.
Fine job on the new, are we calling it an intro? This time it is an intro.
We called it an intro. You like that shit, Jeffrey?
I like that shit. Last time it was not our like official intro. But some people took it as such.
Yeah, I don't think that was an intro. Well, I guess it was an intro. Well, if it comes at the beginning, it's an intro.
It's an intro. It's an intro skit.
The first thing it works.
Opening sketch.
Yeah, opening sketch. I like that.
It's a monologue. Sketch comedy.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. So we got a lot to talk about. Again, always, as always, we have a lot to talk about. Should I tell them what we're going to talk about?
I think you should.
No, don't. What if this?
I feel like the teacher at show and tell, and like you're here with your hamster, and I'm like, okay, Jeffrey, does your hamster do any tricks?
Yeah, you're kind of prompting me.
And you're like,
what's wrong with me?
Well,
I got all shy.
If I feed him enough corn.
Are you just kind of burned out from all the meetings?
I am. I sat in meetings for 2 hours, so I'm a little burnt. So I'll just read.
So does this hamster do any tricks?
Yes, it does do tricks. Okay, this week on the CGFW, I almost said CGW, podcast, we are going to talk about Team Fortress 2, Vanguard, Lord of the Rings Online, and other such topics as Command & Conquer 3, coming to 360 if we want to slum in that direction. You got this frickin' headset you want to talk about, Sean? What is that again?
The Track IR Pro.
Yeah. You're like dorking out on us week by the week. I'm going to descend further.
I'm embracing that.
Yeah, we got at least one reader email, listener email, sorry, to read. And I suppose that's enough. But let's start off with somebody other than me talking. Please, someone, anyone.
Grab Debo. The mic. Rock the mic. No, so I mean, like, want to just like start off with the game's been playing lately? Should
Indeed.
Like that? All right. Do it. So I'm going to blast through a couple of these, and then we just kind of get into the stuff we've all been playing. I'm totally loopy right now because I got no sleep last night. I came across, if you haven't checked this out yet, Puzzle Quest.
Puzzle Quest, that's a console game.
Hey, exactly.
We're off on a good start here.
Awesome.
Games for Windows.
Screw it. Hey, you know what? After my Halo experience this weekend, I'm all about this.
No, but seriously,
we'll
get back to that.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. But basically, this game is like Bejeweled meets Fire Emblem. So it's a turn based strategy puzzle RPG.
Heh.
Exactly. It's the weirdest thing, and it's kind of hard to describe.
So you do puzzles to
basically you fight monsters and
by doing puzzles.
And it's a shared puzzle board, and it's kind of like Bejeweled. You swap out gems and you create, you know, connect rows and you damage the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, it also has multiplayer, so you can play against someone else. It's a really cool idea, and it's definitely worth checking out. So it's a cheap game for like, I mean, like you can get it for like $20, $25 or so for either the DS or the PSP. And if you can find it, totally get it. That's okay. That was just a quick shout out because I was up until 5 a.m. playing that last night.
It's a great name, Puzzle Quest. Oh. Really,
it kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
Hey, put your damn shoes on.
We went over that last week. But look, these don't have holes. Look,
they're in a much,
what?
They're much
hole?
Better ventilated.
Ah, shit, there
room.
Is a hole. God damn it.
Well, at least we're not in the broom closet.
Buy some
this time.
New socks. Yeah, we're not in the broom closet. We're in the big.
That would make an excellent room. Wii game. You know, just stitching up, mending socks,
sewing mama.
Oh, that would be. Yeah, wouldn't you need 2 Wii controllers though for a sewing game? You know.
Oh, yeah, for the knitting needles,
and crocheting needles. And
what
needles.
Are you doing? Just being an editor in chief, you should be a designer.
You're right. All I'm right. going to leave this magazine to make a Wii sewing game.
Crochet.
Goodbye.
Mama.
Miyamoto, are you listening?
I'm coming after you, Miyamoto.
All right, so an actual PC game. I figured I'd save it from that. Cell Factor. That's the AGF physics card based game. I've been trying to play this.
Yeah.
Emphasis on trying. Thank God it's free because I really wouldn't. I don't know if I'd pay money for this thing. And if they're looking, if they're looking for something that's going to like really push this physics card, uh-huh. I don't know if this game's it.
You know how we sometimes complain how we never get on box quotes.
This
well, let me tell you, that was a good one there right now. I wouldn't pay money for this thing. Darren Gladstone.
Feel free to use
Games
that, by
Windows.
The way.
Yeah, you guys can use
that's
that
cleared.
Box quote. If you like, you got my approval.
No. Clear. For marketing.
So what's the source of the letdown? Is it entire package or performance issues?
Well,
design?
Lots of things. I'm still in the middle of testing. I've played it on an XP machine and a Vista machine, and it's just like slow performance.
I did see that over your shoulder.
Yeah, and also it's just kind of like, you know, it's a couple – basically it's – a couple multiplayer skirmish maps with bots. Mm-hmm. Or if you could find other people online that have an AGEA card, then you can play against them.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
So exactly. So what do you do in it? Do you pick up tires and hurl them at people?
Well, no, the thing is, it's kind of like this, like, it's almost kind of shadow running, kind of Counter-Strike kind of vibe to it. So, like, you have three different types of classes. One is, like, Black Ops. You can have some, like, psychic abilities, telekinesis, stuff like that. And you also can use weapons and vehicles. And then there's another one that's straight up weaponry. And then there's another guy who's straight up psychic powers. And so basically it's like all about manipulating all this stuff and blowing up all this crap in the environment. And it's supposed to be this huge tech demo to show off what the card can do. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like the gameplay isn't fully there.
Does it function as a tech demo at least? Like, are you impressed by the physics in this physics game?
No, I mean, it is kind of cool. You see like a shitload of boxes just flying off, you know, flying out. And you can like throw a box at somebody and kill them.
Can't you throw boxes and kill people without a card?
Exactly. I mean, like I could do that with a gravity gun in Half-Life 2.
But there's more.
Granted, you're throwing a hell of a lot more boxes. But overall, from what I saw, the level design reminded me of what was the guys that made Pariah? They made that other game that was strictly deathmatch.
Warpath.
It reminded me of something like that, which is to say a knockoff Unreal Tournament. So if you take an uninspired Unreal Tournament map and basically
add
make your imitation of it and add a whole lot of boxes. I mean, like the vehicle idea and stuff, there are vehicles and it's basically like it looked like you're saying, if you play the psychic character, then that becomes your equalizer, that becomes your vehicle. But surprisingly, I mean, if you got a physics card, It's like you think they would have counted just how many boxes it took before they started bringing their whole processor to a grinding halt, because the boxes were like moving slowly in the same way when you get physics lag. And in all fairness,
I was trying this at different resolutions too. It wasn't like I was just kind of maxing this out at 2560 by 1600.
Yeah, you did have it really cranked up.
I honestly don't get, and this is, I'm not just being just being facetious about it, but I really don't get what these cards are supposed to actually add to the mix.
Well, the thing is, the potential was there to like for what they could do, but I think they're
but
not.
What could they do? I mean,
well, it's kind of like I'm trying to think about
that. Here's the thing:
like, what could they add that would be cool?
They could add a whole lot more. I mean, basically, we know it's a given that physics will continue to be a very central part of next generation games and current generation games. So they basically take the strain off your graphics card so that it's able to emphasize, you know, and do all the other stuff it's doing. And let this handle the physics. Any randomized idea could be like, I mean, if you're playing, you know, a Splinter Cell type thing, and every individual branch is breaking and falls over and hangs a certain way, so that when you're looking around and you're trying to track someone else, for say, you'd be able to see in real time, like, oh, these branches are broken, not because they swapped out the JPEG of a bush of a plant into a broken model, but because they actually. I mean, that's a quick thing.
That's a good example.
Or just something pretty. Imagine, like, instead of Speed Tree in Oblivion, every, you know, leaves are falling off, and they're actual physics leaves that could fall and land on your shoulders.
But see,
or your
that shit I don't care about.
It doesn't add. It adds immersion.
It's the gameplay stuff that's the tricky part, because that requires everyone playing to have the physics.
That's exactly it, and that's why. Yeah. And that's why the self-out game was so hinging upon the fact that it needs to really show off how it can really affect the gameplay in a smart way.
Right.
I mean, the analogy, when I first started writing about this a long time ago, the first thing that popped in my head was like. And this was around the time that Battlefield Vietnam was kind of out, and I was thinking, wow, wouldn't it be kind of cool if you're like you're crouching and like, you know, crawling through a field, and like the grass part, the blades of grass part, and kind of give away your position if you don't go slow enough. That'd be kind of cool.
Right, that would be cool.
But it's not there.
Or I mean, even in a simplistic gratification sense, is say if you're playing Crysis or something, you're shooting up a vehicle and you want to see not just the wheels are scripted to fall off, the door comes off, but the thing will actually break up, and every piece that comes off, or a flight game, you're shooting up with a cannon and another plane, and every little bit of canvas and stuff that comes off the plane will actually be physical. So again, like, I mean, someone maybe could take the idea and say, hey, I've always had this idea, like, you know, Katamari or something, but it ultimately, I've been prevented from doing it because the physics demands are so intense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's something that you could come up with that would use it. But the thing, I haven't changed at all in my appreciation for the need for advanced physics. But the only thing that's changed between when you first wrote about it now is multi-core processing. Hey,
that's exactly it.
It's a no-brainer that the games we use are going to continue to perform physics operations, calculations. And the more that they perform, the easier it is going to be for developers to deliver the visions that they want to deliver. It's just a matter of what the delivery system is going to be. Right. Is it going to be this card, or is it going to be handled through your processor?
Well, I think the real trick for AGEA was early on, they needed to they had to deliver on this promise quicker, and they needed to make sure that it was like, you know, it was such a no brainer thing that it would be like, imagine like you buy a computer and it's not a card, if it's not a card, it's built onto the motherboard. Mm-hmm. And if it got to that kind of level of saturation, then yeah, it would make sense. But the thing is, it's such a limited audience right now. That there's and really they're banking on the games to show off what it can do. So there's this game, which I don't really see as, I mean, like, what initially looked cool when I saw it a year or 2 years ago is pretty cool. Maybe what NetDevil's working on next could do something. I don't know. And then the last hope is that this is built into the Unreal 3 engine. So if something cool is done within the Unreal 3 engine in some game, great. Otherwise, this shit's dead in the water, man.
It comes up over and over again, and it's actually a perfect segue for me talking about TrackIR, because it's similar. It's another piece of hardware that you have to buy. It changes the functionality of games. But so for this, it's just the usual thing. I mean, you want to sell this product, you have to have some killer application for it, but no one's making a killer application for your product unless you've sold it, you know? So you're just dead in the water. And in the same way in console land, you say, if you're trying to release, like, the 3DX for Sega or something, if you're trying any major piece of hardware that you want to release after launch is basically going to be dead in the water. I mean, there have been a few exceptions, you know, but like, I mean, quite a few people bought iToys and stuff, but you can never really, if you don't put it in the box of a console when you ship it, you can't expect everyone to get it. And it's the same problem here in that, you know, basically for the reasons I just said. Okay, so going back to the TrackIR, it's basically a piece of motion, you know, motion detection equipment, and you put on a visor, or now even more conveniently, you basically just clip this thing on the side of your headset.
Wait, what did the visor look like?
It's actually just looks like a golf visor or something. It's not as gimped out. I can sex it up and make people laugh by talking about how it was colored like a hot dog on a stick hat or something.
You know, I remember,
but it's just like it's just a black
dude,
visor.
I remember the first time that I saw some guy come in and demo that. He was playing a GTR because that game, that's one of the games that has
GTR is one of the games
that has built-in support. So the guy comes in, he's actually demoing the game, and he brings in his track IR thing and like. Back then, they didn't have the visors yet. They had these little, like, silver stickers you'd put on something.
Yeah, you put it on your head.
So, yeah, he put a little silver dot on his forehead, like a techno Hindu, and he's, like, playing the game. Yeah.
That's the old tech. The new tech now on the visor, it relies on 3 points. And the same thing with the clip on the side of your head. I mean, if you really... The fact that if you've already got a headset with the microphone boom on, you've already, like, you're not going to look like that much more of a, like, a douche by putting this other thing on the side. Okay. It's basically these three prongs. And so what it does now, 3 points, is it just detects more subtle movement. And then why does anyone care about this? In IL-2, which I play, in the same as GTR, it gives you, it basically translates, you know, your head movements into game movements. Now, I've talked about this before, and I'm talking about it again now because now that I have it, if it sounds slightly interesting, it's actually better and more fun than it sounds. I mean, it completely blew me away. Mm-hmm. It's such an organic solution when I fly in IL-2 to dogfighting and stuff. I mean, just keeping another plane in my line of sight and maneuvering my plane and still, like, looking around and looking up, that it's just so much fun. I mean, when you're playing it, you quickly, you don't even think about it. You don't fight it. You don't say, okay, let me try to coordinate. It's not like patting your stomach and rubbing your head. You just do it, and it works.
What would happen, though,
really,
if you're, like,
really
you're flying that way, and all of a sudden your girlfriend goes, hey, Sean, and you turn around with all your way through your head. Is your plane going to crash?
No, it's just going to stop after. Like, I mean, you're looking at me. People listening can't tell. Yeah. But, like, if I move, like, this much, that's, like, the equivalent of me looking behind my shoulder.
About, so it's about 30, okay. So it's, like, 35 degrees.
Yeah, but you quickly, your mind very quickly understands the extent of read on the device, and so you're not like, oh, you don't have to over or under correct it. You just get it. It's just like really intuitive. It's bang. You just know just how much to do it. It's great in that game. Now to the point where, like, I don't even want to play that game without that. It's that. I mean, I'm not lying. Like, and here's the thing. I have to. So for disclosure, I did. They heard me talking about wanting this thing and on the podcast, and they emailed me and said, hey, can I send it to you? So I want to get that out there. Like, I'm not, in case I sound like a shill for this thing, I did get it for free, and it is expensive. That's
part
of the problem.
And they gave you $50 too.
No, they did not.
I'm kidding.
No, but I said, hey, like, I'll take it. I have no guarantees. I might think it's a piece of overrated trash. Uh-huh. I mean, not overpriced trash.
Uh-huh. How much is it? It's like $150, right?
Yeah, so it's definitely expensive. The other thing is, like, I can say about it is that, like, so I was genuinely impressed, you know. I mean, you have to, like, you can decide if you want to be skeptical or believe me, but I like it. And, of course, I'm talking about for just experience with one game so far. But, and it's also, it doesn't have that chintzy feel that a lot of, you know, it's not a major interface manufacturer or what yet, but it doesn't feel like it came out of someone's garage at this point. Maybe earlier iterations did, but
no,
the
no,
four
actually,
doesn't.
It was always pretty sturdy.
Okay. So other things, Armed Assault, which is now called Arma, is out and uses
that's a lot easier.
And so not only does it look, you know, left, right, and up and down, it has, you know, roll and coming forward and backward, you know, in relation to your computer monitor. So what this means in Armed Assault is that if you want, instead of having to mouse to or whatever to sight down your weapons, or if you're on a turret and you want to, like, you know, sight down a 50 cal or something, you just lean forward a little bit. Obviously, you're not touching your nose to your monitor, but you lean forward a little bit, and that will handle that. Furthermore, your head can be moved independently of your body, which means that, say, if you want to go up to a corner and you want to point your gun, you know, because your head's able to move quicker than your body and still stay accurate, you could put your gun and point on a general area where you expect to see, and then look over your left shoulder with your head and see what's behind you or whatever. It might not make you the best player or anything. It's not going to confer an advantage on you that way in the way it does in IL-2. But my guess, and my friend Rory who tried it, says it does what it does in that it wants to immerse you in the game, and you feel more part of the game that you're playing. And then finally, yet again in that game, flying in vehicles and stuff works the same as it would in IL-2. So if you're in a helicopter, you have door gunners, and you want to make sure that you actually have them lined up where they're able to hit a target that you want them to hit, you can just look to your left as you're flying without going screwball. And you could do that in Battlefield, but you have to, you know, the way it's set up now, you hit shift or control, whatever you have, and look, but then you can no longer control the plane. This way, you still have control. So if you wanted to go down and all the while looking left out the window, you could do that. And I mean, more and more game. The trick is to get more and more games to support it.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's not such a big deal. It's not a big deal as like restructuring the entire game from the ground up. It could be, but and it's surprisingly, they have quite a few companies on board. They're, the guy I talked to that gave me the thing was saying how they're really interested in speaking with smaller game developers. So like if you're making, you know, quick puzzle games and things, I mean, just different ways about that.
That's interesting.
Actually,
it's pretty damn expensive, though.
It's definitely expensive. It's not for it's for people with disposable incomes, no
but
doubt.
But people who fly flight sims are used to spending a lot of money on these peripherals, and anything to get them more deeper immersion of the experience. Actually, before we get too far off topic, I did want to ask one question because I'm thinking about this for Arma. So can you like post, like say you're going to post up on a wall, mm-hmm. can you like use your head to like kind of peek around the corner? Is that how that works? Or
That would be interesting because I know it does register you going forward, but in there, since it puts you up to your sights, I'm guessing no.
That would be kind of
cool. I know they could if they wanted because in Microsoft Flight Sim, which has the 6 degrees of motion tracking instead of the 4 like IL-2, you can actually duck down and look. Like, so if you're looking at your instrument panel mm-hmm. and you wanted to look like under it, you actually like duck down and look up and you're like your view on the monitor is doing the same. Or if you wanted to like kind of stand up in your seat and look out over your dashboard, that would work. So clearly it's got the ability to do that. If they wanted to put that in, that would kind of be interesting. You know, you see people peeking their heads out. So
yeah.
Instead of hitting like lean left, lean right, you see some fool actually pop his head out.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. That's an intuitive control that like, you know, people are used to in real life.
And the final good thing I'll say about it is that I was expecting, you know, not only just being, you know, some smaller company, but that it would just be inelegant, not only from an engineering standpoint, but from a software standpoint. And here's the good news. It's like it puts an icon on your desktop. You just double-click it, open it up, and then whenever you open a game, the light on your sensor will turn blue if it supports it, and you don't have to do anything else. So you don't have to even go into your controls and change anything. You just once you've had the track IR icon open but prior to opening your game, you're automatically configured and good to go.
And does it
easy.
And does it? But is it possible to map out those commands from the?
Yeah, you could do. You can go and do all that if that you can config as much as you want. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's the end of my rant on that, but I'm pretty impressed with
quite
that.
A commercial.
I like it. Yeah. That's a testimonial.
This episode
that is a testimonial.
This episode
testimonial.
Brought to you by Trek.
But it's fun. I did want to talk about it because on here just because like. You know, if it was Nintendo or something, the kids mm-hmm. would be like,
I fail to understand how you don't see that this is a revolution, anything mm-hmm. less than a revolution. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, not to that extent. But it's like, I think it's just because it's PC, people aren't going to get as hyped about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it's expensive as hell.
Well, exactly. It's the price of entry. It's always going to be the issue there.
Yeah.
I don't have $150 to spare.
I don't either.
So, anyone else want to jump in before we get to Team Fortress 2?
Nah.
Well, we're going to hit Loader?
Huh?
You got any Lord of the Rings?
Oh, Loader.
Loader.
Yeah, I played a bungload of Loader this weekend.
My.
I think that's how you measure gameplay in that game.
Is that somewhere between a cubit
by
and
the
a...
bungload. I don't know why I said that. It's actually a great game.
Disgusting.
I'm sorry. No, I'm having a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I'm up level 14 now, Blubbo. The Hobbit Guardian is now level 14.
Okay.
I'm finding
you got called out on our forums, though. By the way,
what
the Dick Riders Alliance? Like, is when we mentioned that you guys are playing on Brandywine.
Dick Riders Alliance
because you guys are like playing on the Brandywine server.
Yeah,
and there was an already extant thread to get people to play, and they were on another server.
Ah, jeez.
And they were like they posted to rally.
Yeah,
friends, like, hey, come on and play with us. But now everyone's like, no, we're going to Brandywine.
What? Because I'm on there?
Yeah, because you're there.
Yeah,
and I said I would be on there once I get this new PC.
I can't wait to
see you. Supposed to be here today. Where's the damn thing?
You're not going to play it, are you?
I'm going to play it just so
you are not.
Even if I'm going to buy a Lord of the Rings novel, so I'm going to go in and try to join people's parties, and then I won't talk. Okay, I'll join their fellowship and I won't talk. But then, like after we're in the middle of a thing. Okay, maybe I'll just be like the guy that can play the loot, but I won't bring any I won't bring any weapons or anything.
Talking,
I'm just gonna bring
you're
that
going
loot.
Naked.
And then
it's holding your loot strategically
and then, like,
in front
so
of
they
you.
Won't know. They'll just be like, okay, it's just the quiet guy, whatever. And then like I'll just start reading in like some dumb voice some of the passages from Lord of the Rings.
just ask him.
Mm-hmm. You know,
just do the Tom Bombadil stuff. That'll really get him.
Maybe you can play Tender Sax instead.
Do they have it?
Skin flute.
What a sensual. Okay, you're going. I thought you were talking like.
He's like going all highbrow.
I'm taking it to sixth grade.
Like,
right,
you can
away.
Play sensual sex. I'm like, okay, maybe there's a joke there. I'll pretend to laugh. But you're really saying, dude, you could suck dick when you're in that game.
Oh, yeah, pretty fun, man.
And our ratings are slipping as we speak.
Not.
I'm sorry.
That's good for ratings. That was so sophisticated,
yeah,
Jeff.
Thank you. I'm the oldest one here. Yeah. Dumbest sense of humor. Okay, so anyway. So
you're level 14.
Yeah, so I'm level 14. I've been playing it a lot. I am really liking it. I'm very impressed by what Turbine did here. I think they learned a lot of lessons over the years with their MMOs and watching WoW, obviously. And it feels very balanced and what I'm really enjoying as I level up now is the traits you get. Have you gotten far enough to get a trait yet, Sean?
I don't think so. I've gotten the little indicator that tells me I'm on my way to earning a trait, the little bar that fills up.
Because you know how we are sort of complaining about how there's not really there's no skill trees to follow, so there's no real choices to be made there. But the choices start coming in these traits because you only get a couple slots. The slots open up more as you level up, but at the beginning you only have one and then two. But you're going to have more traits than there are slots, and so you need to and you have to pay to fill the slots. So you'll get empathy, which will add plus one to your morale or whatever it is, and you'll swap these out as situations arise.
So you can unlearn them, or you have to like only equip a couple at a time, or
you can equip a couple at a time, but then to like respec you have to go pay. Or two.
Oh, right.
I thought you were talking about the titles. Okay, so I was
No. This is the traits. Okay. The titles are just like, right now I'm Blubbo, Protectorate of the Shire, because I did so many quests, I think, or whatever.
Protectorate of the Shire.
Yeah, I protectorated the Shire.
So how are these traits different than, like, a WoW skill?
King of the Cardboard City. The game of homeless people.
There's a whole lot of different titles. You can be, like, Champion Pie Eater. If you like win a pie eating contest, so that's what you want to be.
You can eat pie in that game?
Yes, you can. Yes, sir.
Do you get it?
Yeah. Shut up. I'm moving right on from that.
You can ask for it.
Says the guy who said skin flute 5 minutes ago. You can also type /smoke, and then you're smoking a pipe.
Pizza?
Not many games. No slash pizza. The only big problem I'm having with the game is there. There's a lot of the folks in chat, at least on Brandywine.
Slash pizza. They have slash Lord of the Rings shaped chicken nuggets.
So, there are chickens in the game, by the way.
The one nugget.
McHobbit.
There's chickens running around, which is kind of weird, because I don't remember chickens in the Tolkien books. Yeah. You know?
Is there a quest to kill chickens yet? Or?
There's no quest to kill chickens. Actually, I haven't tried to kill a chicken. I think I will next time I get on. See if I get any XP for that.
Yeah. Okay. Just don't say. Okay, never mind. I'm not even gonna say it.
What, like choking chickens?
Here we go. Thanks. I was waiting for that one.
They're bad.
Wow.
Minnie Mouse. I'm not Minnie.
Okay. So what am I trying to say here? About the
traits.
The traits, but then also the other players. There's just an incredible amount of sincere chat going on that just. It just brings out the bad person in me, There's a lot of people, I guess, who have been waiting a long time to be in Middle Earth and pretend they're really in Middle Earth.
So
there's just like a lot of chat. There's like people saying
number two in Europe right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the Europeans who are doing the sincere Lord of the Rings chat.
Like, what do you mean sincere? Like they're
like proper RP? It's a mighty fine night out tonight. Like when the sun goes down in the game,
How do you spell mighty?
Yeah, mighty with like an E after the Y.
Despicable.
And then someone going, "Aye, it is, lad," back in chat. I'm like, fuck, I'm not on the role-playing server. Cut that, man.
Is there actually a role-playing server?
Let's just kill shit Waja and level wine. Up.
Brandy Waja.
Yeah, and I was in a group last night there were like four hobbits. I was one of them. Sorry, a fellowship, not a group. There were like four hobbits. And
you're already succumbing to their
sin.
I know.
And one of the hobbits kept we're like just trying to kill goblins. Okay, that was the quest. It was like kill however many goblins, and then you had to go get the thing, the umbrella that was hiding at the end of the goblin camp. And one guy kept going. Yeah, I know it was an umbrella.
Clearly,
for
someone
whatever
didn't
reason.
Send you a copy of Lord of the Rings for free.
I am liking
like
this
reverse
game
psychology.
No, I'm liking it. But this one guy in the fellowship kept like saying like We hobbits should rest and have another breakfast before we continue venturing. and then a smiley face. And it's like, shut the fuck up and kill the goblins. There's no second breakfast in this game. That was like a,
you need to make your own. You can get a whole, whip up your own fellowship of toadies, I'm sure, through our
I want a fellowship forums. Of people who remember that it's a game and we're not actually in Middle Earth.
He was breaking some role-playing rules anyway by putting a smiley face after that. What the hell?
Yeah,
you're right.
Those role-playing
can't do
light.
That.
You're right. And then some other guy was like actually on there complaining about like game reviewers, which I thought was funny. Not somebody in the fellowship. He was like saying like disparagingly. He was saying, "Well, game reviewers probably aren't going to really like this. The kiddies reviewing this game aren't going to like this game because they're used to a baby game like WoW." With this one guy,
isn't that like mandatory for the
guess
chat,
what?
The chat
this
window?
Game is WoW with a different skin.
Yeah, what
moron.
The
this is not the more sophisticated WoW. This is just WoW with a Lord of the Rings license.
There's the equivalent of that in I'm sure there's equivalent of that in every genre.
Pompous ass. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Huh?
An equivalent to that exists in every genre, I'm sure. And the equivalent in shooters is the so-called tactical shooter. And basically, if you play a game that sucks, and the only difference between it and say like Counter-Strike is that the movement speed
the
is slower
pace.
Than Halo.
Uh-huh.
Then they're like the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Shooter.
Those plebes just wouldn't understand.
Basically, yeah, you walk like you just got out of like the urgent care ward, and it's tactical.
Man, if they were talking about the original Rainbow Sixes where you actually had to control AI squads and tactically tell them where to go and what order to do it in, that'd be a little different. But
well, yeah, I'm not saying that like a tactical game doesn't exist. I'm just saying that like
it's just funny,
that's the equivalent of here. Totally. Like that, in the same way that Lord of the Rings, it's not saying that a hardcore MMO doesn't exist.
Exactly.
It's just it's not fucking Lord of the Rings Online, you know?
Like, yeah,
anyway, the same guy who was like talking about us, we Hobbitsies, at one point he said he was sorry that there wasn't voice chat. I was like, yeah.
I thought there is.
Well, we didn't. I don't know if there is or not, but we didn't have it. Thank
Word
God.
On the street, there is.
Well, maybe there is, but I sure don't want to listen to that guy.
What am I supposed to like? Type Tolkien passages in text and expect that to be fun?
Oh, that's yeah. what. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are.
All my plans to play
with
this
the spelling more
revolve around the voiceover IP.
Oh, so now that you hear it, might not be there. You don't want to play.
No,
anymore.
I know it's there. Other people were saying. I read the.
That'd
I read
so
the list.
Fucking sketch. Just hearing some dude like. Let's have second breakfasty.
Yeah.
That's that ish when, like, you know, like, if you're in team, because I know you guys play WoW in TeamSpeak and you get, like, a lot of people you don't know in. And once in a while, some dude starts mouthing off and you have to, everyone kind of, like, alt tabs and looks to see whose light's flashing. Like, who's saying that shit? Why won't you stop?
We use Ventrilo.
I want to be that dude.
I don't do voice chat for any game.
None?
I don't want to hear people talking. Yeah.
It'll break your illusion.
It will. Yeah. I don't want to be like, what if, you know, it's hard enough in WoW, like taking, I don't like taking orders from people in a game, but I don't want to find out it's like some like 10-year-old kid, you know. You really should be focusing your energy on the. I can't even do it.
You and Sean could play together. You probably haven't even run into one another.
We're
in
not
the
on
world.
The same server.
Yeah, not in the same
WoW
server.
That's great. Same way we've never once had a staff barbecue.
Yeah, it's
or anything
that.
Like that.
You're right. We haven't had a staff barbecue.
I've never
like
been
like
to
one.
Sean's house.
We have lunch together.
We could at least play Lord of the Rings together.
Hey, we've been in Lord of the Rings together.
Let's make a fellowship.
Yeah. Sure. Let's make a fellowship.
I haven't played enough. I'm not even out of the. I just got out of the newbie zone. So
which one are you? Well, are you human?
The human,
or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the world changing event.
Yeah, I am liking the game though. I am.
Did you do that
I'm
monster?
Level 14.
Did you do the monster thing yet?
Nah, I still haven't made it over there yet. I'm still enjoying being a hobbit. Because I get two breakfasts.
I think
that's pretty great.
I'm sick of hearing about this
All right.
Let's
talk
about
Team 14. Yeah, okay. Move on.
We'll take a break first?
We'll take a break and we'll come back with some talk about Team Fortress.
Okay. Yeah, because that's like a preview.
We're actually
it's
talking,
now
about,
playing, but
we're
it's
talking
like,
about games this time.
Holy like shit. How'd that happen?
I don't know.
We got plenty of time to talk about nonsense, too.
Okay. We'll be back.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of... EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.oneup.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the 1UP Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
We're back.
Hi. Yay.
Talk about Team Fortress 2. Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress 2.
Is actually in Fortress 2. I'm going to plug for one moment our brand new issue. Just going to subscribers right now. It's got, it's got World of Warcraft on the cover again. But we have a Team Fortress 2 article in there, so check it out on the newsstand. I do want to say, right before we came down here, you know, when the new issue comes in to the office, I get this minuscule box with like 8 copies. So we each get one. And one of them, I went into the men's room right before we came down here.
One of the
precious issues is sitting in the men's room like all wet.
It's half soggy. But
then, on the sink. And not only that, they were like, okay, it's not so wet that I should throw it away. But it's like more wet than I want to be able to touch it again.
Bathroom, yeah.
So they just left it.
Maybe some other dude doesn't really care about all this piss water on it. Will read it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and was that? I mean, it was probably sink water. But who's going to take that chance?
EGM. Who was it? 1UP Yours. Retronauts. Who did that?
Who did we give issues to other than the five of us?
Brian Itahar.
Brian Itahar.
Damien.
It was one of those Damien.
Oh shit, they're dead.
And did anyone else?
Crispin Boyer might have grabbed one.
One of those guys took our new issue into the men's room and then peed on it.
You saw an
I'll tell you, we're going to do an
escalation.
Yeah. The next EGM that we get, I'll tell you.
Use it as a breakdance mat.
Worse than that, man.
You got a dog at home.
I'm going to hold something in for those guys.
You heard something earlier.
Okay, Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress 2.
Yeah. So yeah, it was in the aforementioned issue, and it's going to be weird because like I went to go see it like a month and a half ago now.
Ah.
So
yeah,
my memory's got to be refreshed here. Okay, so darn. Went down to or up to or north to Valve.
Yes.
To play Team Fortress 2.
Mm-hmm.
First time, and I think since the when was that cover story? It was like.
This is a long time ago.
9 months ago, God, something like that. That's pretty close to when I started.
Yeah.
A lot of changes.
Uh-huh.
A lot of big changes.
Good.
And I
changes?
Found that's a good question because I went as the total Team Fortress noob.
Mm-hmm.
So the changes were kind of like they're explained to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting.
Okay.
I'll have to field some of these changes with Sean here. So when I came back, he totally grilled me.
But as a noob, did it feel good?
Yeah, it felt good.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been the kind of person who would be inclined to avoid that kind of game, just thinking my skills are extremely lacking to be playing a multiplayer first-person shooter of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
I play first-person shooters, but mostly solo or co-op with people I know. But this one, I was doing pretty good, but I was also picking a lot of support classes, like medic and spy and engineer, which seemed, not to, like, say they're not skilled, but they're at least they're not so dependent on knowing, you know, where to whip your mouse to shoot someone in the head real fast.
They might have done
that
before
you
showed up. They might have done that journalist arriving meeting of, okay, go easy on Sean Malone.
Well, yeah, they totally probably did do that.
Let him win so then he'll write a better story.
Yeah. And then they come up. Those are the best, and they come up behind you. I've had these demos, and they're like, that's a headshot. Did you see? That was good. Oh, that was a headshot. Took his head clean off his shoulder.
You're really good at this.
Totally
you got the
that.
Hang of it now, Sean.
Yeah. Oh, did you just backstab him?
And then
oh,
the opposite. Then there's the complete opposite where it's like they unleash the testers and the testers are like, oh, dude, we got to prove to these guys that they ain't shit.
Cream
it's like,
fucking
oh, yeah,
journalist.
Prove to me I ain't shit at a game I've been playing for like 35 minutes that you've been playing for like 12 months.
Oh, you're dead again.
Totally. 8 hours
oh,
a day.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Professional Journalist. Oh, you're dead again.
Yeah, dude. So there's both.
I was crying after like 10 minutes.
That's kind of hard. That's why the solution is just to have the journalists play one another.
Yeah.
But sadly, not enough journalists play the online games they review for us to have populated games doing that. So we have to have the testers.
It's a big, vicious circle.
Yeah.
So anyway, big change number one is grenades be gone.
Yeah.
And conk jump.
When he came back, you told me that.
As soon as I heard no conk jump, I'm like, what?
I think we put that on our cover, didn't we?
Something like
that.
We
put like what? WTF, no grenades or something?
Yeah.
That's some hardcore stuff right there. For that to mean anything to anyone, that's
No, seriously, like, conch jumping is huge.
You got pretty deep in the rabbit hole already for that to scan right.
Yeah, it says on the cover, no more grenades, WTF.
Okay, that's all small down at the bottom. That's cool. If you got your face that close to the magazine,
you've already bought it.
Yeah,
we already stole your money.
No refunds,
or maybe you stole our magazine.
So, of course, the reason that that's like a huge statement
Yeah.
No grenades. Is that was one of the defining traits of Team Fortress Classic and Team Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between those, I'm just going to say Team Fortress from now on, by which I mean both, you know, mm-hmm. just Team Fortress prior to the, what it is now. And so each of the, now everyone had a regular hand grenade, except for scouts. But, and that was actually good and bad. But the real thing was that everyone had a secondary grenade that was class specific. There was a little overlap between classes like medic and scout, and such like that. But the cool thing about them was that, you know, the concussion grenades Darren's talking about were medic and scout, and they were basically designed so that, you know, when you have a class that's supposed to be quick and nimble, but that's not going to be just like a big, you know, gunfighter, you're able to throw it on a stronger opponent, dizzy them, and buy yourself some time to escape. Mm-hmm. Of course, people found out that they were ultimately propulsion pads for rapid mobility, jumping
awesome.
And stuff. And that completely, as a medic, as a clan player, as a, both a medic and a scout, it is so, like, it's like, you know, I said this elsewhere, but it's like, you know, in a fighting game, if you find out that your main character has been altered for a sequel and they mm-hmm. nerfed or took out some of just, like, your bread and butter moves. You know, like, I based, like, the majority of my strategy around, like, a 3B with Nightmare and Soul Calibur 2. That's basically an uppercut.
Right.
And then you find out that they made it so that the properties are different. It's really like that for someone that plays it hardcore. But also it means that the game's got to be radically rebalanced. The other example that I mentioned, I'll try not to like repeat myself because I just realized some of this is going up on the 1UP show Friday, is that the engineers had the electric magnetic pulse grenade, which is used to destroy explode ammunition other players carried. So that made them effective against heavy-duty, heavy weapons guys mm-hmm. Who would then have to decide that they might want to throw away some of their ammo before going into the blue engineer's basement, you know. So it was basically, long story short, it's really important. And to take that out, it now means... And it's for a good thing, is that instead of it just means that instead of using grenades as one of the very important way of differentiating classes from one another, they have to do a lot more to the classes to differentiate them.
And
right.
Now that I'm thinking about this, just playing devil's advocate for a second, you have a generation of people that grew up playing TF and would kick anybody's ass that was new to the game just trying to get started at it because they know all the maps, all the secrets, mm-hmm. all the conch jumping and all that stuff, and like. It's like basically getting on the freeway with a jalopy and trying to like go like the speed limit, and you get run off.
Well, yeah, there is some element of reset button here because number one, it's coming to 362.
Exactly.
And number two, they're kind of packaging it almost as like a hey, everyone who might not be interested, look how colorful and bright this is and how cool it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It's coming bundled with two other games that like I wouldn't have thought probably to buy Team Fortress 2 by itself. But knowing that it comes with Half-Life Episode 2 and Portal, two games I am. Yeah.
And that's a great move because that's how I
suddenly that's how I'll just play.
Very smart.
Yeah. Through Half-Life, you know.
It's three very different types of games.
Before we advance the conspiracy theory that these are all moves being made to dumb the game down to ultimately make it work cross-platform. Not cross-platform, but to make it work on multiple platforms.
Okay.
So with basically, long story short, to make it work with the controller interface. Before I advance that theory, I want to say that they have very, very credible reasons for wanting to eliminate the grenades in the game. Mm-hmm. First of all, is that it's just grenades became a problem, mm-hmm. Especially the regular explosive grenades, in that every character would get like one or two. You can go and get more from your ammo bags in your spawns. And ultimately, even people that aren't good just run out into the open and throw them and throw grenades, and the timers are ticking at different intervals.
Yeah.
And some grenades like blow up at like the Mervs and make more grenades. And ultimately, instead of the kind of game that you're talking about, Darren, where like it's really based on, you know, placement of shots and everything, it's just like you walk outside and like boom, you have no idea why, but you've lost, you're like down to 10% health, and then like more explosions, and then,
that's exactly so how I played. That's why I like them. If you suck, there's nothing easier than just
tossing a grenade. And
I would just spawn in and just throw grenades.
You go. I mean, you do that. You go.
It's like run
outside the spawn door. It's classic. It's like you can always expect. There's like hallucinogenic grenades from the spies, like puffing uh-huh. out. There's Mervs going off. There's pipe bombs. There's like nail grenades, and it's just like. You're running to in two fort. You're running to the basement of your opponent's base. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take the spiral, you know, staircase. So I'm gonna pass by their spawn. I got something
toss
for you.
A grenade.
Yeah, throw some.
The demo man still has his grenades. He still got the equivalent of the pipe bomb.
Yeah,
you know the one where you detonate with your left.
So, I heard they changed up the medic too.
Let's let Sean.
The biggest change.
Better be good because that was my favorite.
Yeah, like I said, I never played the old medic, so you'll have to do the comparison for me. But the new medic basically is a healer. Like, you spend a lot of your time with this healing gun, and you walk behind...
Link gun.
Seriously, is that all it is, basically?
Yeah. You walk behind, most of the time, you latch yourself to a heavy or whatever. And
no poisoning? No nothing?
No poisoning. So Sean, you get, a hypodermic needle gun, which they said was a little stronger than any other, just straight-up weapon they might have had in the past.
So now they're priests. Kind
of. But you walk behind, a medic. You hide behind a rock and make sure you're, within line of sight and not within
You have a hypodermic needle gun that'll kind of,
It's just straight-up damage.
Okay.
And it's they said it was a little bit better than whatever they had before, but not
probably better than the nail gun is what they mean.
Yeah.
And the other thing, while you're, healing the heavy or whoever, you're also filling this charge meter. And when it hits the max, you can use the alt fire to make you and whoever you're linked to invincible. So that's kind of a major way you do pushes through things.
I think that could be cool.
That could be cool.
It's needed
I
enjoyed the hell out of it.
The way I played, in clan play and stuff too, I saw definitely an advantage. It's basically easier to play defense in that game than offense.
Mm-hmm.
Or conversely, you just have to be far more coordinated on your offense. That's and that could sport. Be a good way to help some of the stalemate issues.
Right.
I just want to pause to point out, for the last, I don't know how many minutes, 10, 15, we're all talking, and Ryan's just sitting here reading the magazine.
that's how good our new issue is.
This is quite an advertisement for GFW.
someone's
go ahead, you can keep reading. Keep fine.
Never mind us. Go back to reading.
Just pretend we're talking Guild Wars. Dude.
It's like a guy in the library and we're all talking. Don't mind us, Ryan.
Some other stuff you're saying, clearly... Spies cannot feign death anymore. Proved to be a physics problem that they couldn't get around. But you could still disguise, right? And then,
yeah, that's
and then they're instead
still
of
cloak.
Instead feign of throwing death, grenades from a cloaked state on enemy sentry turrets, they can
got
now
some sort of disruptor device to use on the turrets to shut them down.
So that's
how they're getting around the grenades in that.
It's pretty real though at this point, huh?
Yeah.
How many maps do you play?
It's not Vaporware, man.
Yeah.
So you played four maps for a while?
I'm totally excited. I wrote this one off for so long.
But
now, I was psyched after leaving.
Can I get over the... It's sort of like how I used to be a gigantic Warriors fan, and then every year when they almost came close, I just numb myself to it. It's like, no, I don't give a shit, because I don't want to get my heart broken again. And now this year... It's kind of real again. Mm-hmm. So can I feel that way about Team
Ryan
Fortress
feels
too?
That way, and that's pretty much the only reason why he's reading the magazine and ignoring us. He just does not want his heart broken.
Right. He's like, right. No, I don't want to hear about Team Fortress 2. Don't do it.
Don't make Ryan cry.
Don't make me happy and then sad. So really, it's going to come out, huh?
Yeah. Actually,
all
it
right.
is.
Okay.
In a box with two other games, nonetheless.
I'm going to hate you.
So yeah, what other big things?
Double jumping scout. Clearly another... That's the thing that makes me wonder. A double jumping scout seems like so obviously like a way of making conch jumping available to botards.
Yeah, that's like Metroid Prime right there.
Yeah.
Botards?
Yeah, that's a long story. Bo-sees. Like Bo-sees is like a vocational school
like when you go to grade school.
My girlfriend's from New York, and so Bo-sees is
I know
like,
what that means. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun words you can make it like Bocephalus and
Bo-cephus.
Yeah, Bo-cephus. Yeah, but anyway, Bo-tech, yeah, like you could, like, that's Bo-tech.
There was this one dude
Bo-tech
had a power mullet.
Basically, our experience with Halo 2 trying to, it's Halo 2 Vista trying to install that thing.
Oh, dude, boy. That's a monster segue. I'll avoid.
So the quick thing, like I was saying about.
Are we recording here?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay so if the double jumping, again, I'm just speculating. Sean played it, not me. But like my worry there is that they realize. We're making a game. You need to be able to play with controller and stuff, too. People aren't going to be able to execute conch jumps and timing and that stuff. So let's just let them double jump. I don't know.
Okay.
But the cynical part of me is like, that damn well better not be what you're doing for the PC version.
Well, they added double jumping to the Unreal series. So, I don't know. It's all in the implementation. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I'm going to miss conch jumping, though. That's for sure.
How about the overall vibe of the game?
The art
look
style.
Cool. I mean, were you?
Yeah, look really cool. I think they pulled off the stylistic change.
Yeah. Yeah, I like all the screens I've seen a lot.
It looks really
good. It's got a lot of character. It's just really easy. And this was what they said their point was for changing all of the models. But it's really easy to pick out from even really far away what class you're fighting. Mm-hmm. And then, this is after playing an hour.
Just from the silhouettes and all?
Yeah, I mean, you totally all the stuff they talked about, like, you know, silhouettes trying to make the big difference. Mm-hmm. You see an action, you're like, yeah, it totally does work.
Yeah, so, looking forward to seeing a lot more. The way they designed those maps, like at least the few that Sean and I saw, what was it, a year ago almost?
It was a long time.
It was a while ago.
We saw Two Fort, and Sean saw Well.
Yeah,
I
saw Two Fort, which is identical, I guess, to the original. And then Well and Dust Bowl were revamped, but so they're kind of like spiritual successors.
Yeah.
And then a new one I saw was Hydro, which had a weird kind of gimmick in that, like, you fight over the control points, and this is going to be really hard to explain without, like, some sort of whiteboard.
This
I'm going to
try to do an audio. Wait for a one-up show.
Yeah, wait for the one-up show. Okay. We talk about it there.
Okay. Or buy the magazine.
Or buy the magazine.
Speaking of which, should we talk about any of the other stuff here?
Nah.
Let's just move on because we've already been going for a while.
Yeah, and we haven't. It's been all games.
You got your Vanguard beef. Do you want to talk non-game? Let's jump out of games.
Let's talk about boogers
and ask. There's that other topic we could talk about.
I don't know
how neurotic we get over hate and love mail.
Oh
message board stuff.
Oh yeah,
Ryan, this better get you to loosen those lips.
As it were,
he's afraid they'll sink ships.
Okay, so, Sean,
I'll just ask. How about I ask you? We'll get feedback directly and indirectly on message boards where people are talking to one another about us, on ours where they might be talking directly to us, you know, mailing.
I know it affects you.
Stuff. Yeah, but I wanted to ask, like, how do you guys, like, deal with it? Do you like it? Do you ignore it? Do you love it? Are you addicted to it? Like, what?
I think I have to admit I'm kind of addicted to it. I mean, I'm always looking for feedback on the magazine because I want to know. I encourage it.
It turns. I know, Jeff. This is definitely true for you. I'm gonna do a psychological diagnosis, diagnosis.
Go for it.
It turns you into a bitch in that. No, it turns you into
damn.
That.
Okay. No,
that's a certified opinion right there.
Yeah. Okay. It turns you and
how
and
to
all of
your
us.
Boss.
Yeah. Into the woman who's like. You didn't tell me I'm pretty today. You didn't tell me I'm pretty today. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a man with a wife.
Yeah.
And you're a man that could tell me that knows what I'm saying. But, like, you know, where you're like, you know how, like, the stereo. Okay, so let me apologize to the women out there. Like, the utmost stereotypical. And it's men, too. But let's say it's a vain guy. Say it's the guy who waxes his toes or something. Shaves the hair off his toes.
Oh, that reminds
me. And he wants, you know, you to say, like, did you notice? Did you notice
my nice shiny toes?
Yeah.
Notice
I just got a Playboy wax.
You're comparing me to a guy who shaves his toes?
No, actually, we're trying to tell you something since you're holes in your socks.
Oh, you're telling me to shave my toes. I'm missing the point.
Straight up, intro?
No, I think I do check the message boards. I do get bummed but listen, you and I end up talking each other down from these same things. Like, we'll still be some message board like, man, Sean Elliott's voices are so fucking dumb. You know? And then you're just like, all right, that's it. I'm never doing that again. And I have to go like, Sean, it's one dude. So, we both do. Because I do that too. Mm-hmm. Or if I, I'll get an email. Like, I get pretty nice email most of the time about my column, but every once in a while, there'll be one.
Maybe one person speaks the stupidest fucking thing
I've ever read. I'm just like at home, like I'm in the dark and the lights are off, and my wife's like, what's wrong, Jeff?
I'm a failure.
I'm the same way. That's why I avoid it.
I'm the same exact way. Like, I can get, like, 100 great emails, and then one just says, you're a total asshole, you got this wrong, you got that wrong. And I'll fixate on that for a freaking month, and I'll be like, God, I gotta fix this shit.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think people don't realize, really, like, the kind of... Because what's always funny, too, is when if you write people back, and then, Sean, you and I were talking about this, the law.
This is another EIC's law.
This is a rule. Right, if you write them back,
no matter what they said,
right? Because some, then.
But this is only if you're an editor in chief. You got a special, dude. I can
tell
you for a
special compensation.
You get a get out of jail
right because if somebody writes me and says like my column is the biggest piece of shit they ever read, they haven't laughed once in 5 years. They wish I'd go away and die, and then I write them back and I'm like, different strokes, I guess. Sorry you don't like it. Hope you keep reading the magazine anyway. I'll write something kind of sincere like that. And then they write me back. It's like, oh, man, I reread my thing, and it's kind of harsh. Actually, you're pretty funny. Yeah. I've always really liked you. And
just not making this up.
I'm not making it up, and I'm not even exaggerating. And
there's one today on your blog.
Yeah,
about
that was one on our blog. Yeah, the guy backed off after like 2 minutes.
I've seen it happen with Dan Hsu from EGM, yep. The Neo Gaming Age forums, and right. in his own forums.
But what I wanted
like,
to say.
No, but they're like, yeah. But it's the EICs. I mean, and then when one of you guys go in there, there's like, you know, it's like, boom. Like, oh, okay, like, oh, thanks so much for posting here. But, like,
I didn't
dudes
believe
like
he'd
me
actually
or Ryan,
respond to me.
Like, we're just like yeah. the chodes, you know. We go in there, and they don't care. They're not going to, like, back well, down because, like,
oh, yeah, it's Sean Elliott.
Our fuck GFW, you, asshole.
Our GFW letters inbox, you know, I'll respond to those.
Yeah, uh-huh. I try
regularly,
to respond to
and uh-huh. I've gotten the same kind of the reception sort of, doing that.
Yeah, usually they're surprised we respond. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to say before. Is like, I think a lot of people writing don't realize – we're like just people sitting at desks. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just like regular people. So an email shows up in your inbox and you read it, yeah. it can have an effect on you.
Like
you
know? Someone took
someone,
the time.
If you imagine, I mean, anyone listening to this podcast, imagine your job and you get an email that all of a sudden says you're a big fucking asshole. I mean, it can affect you,
yep.
you know? Yeah. I mean, I know we're in the public, sort of.
Yeah.
So like you have to expect it, but it can still get to you. Mm. Especially if someone calls you out on something personally, on something you created, yeah. right? Like,
but it, for some reason, like bitching is always louder than praise. And like yep. you, I think before there'd be some thread. It's like just a bunch of people are like, you know, pretty happy, pretty
yeah,
positive.
I know.
There's like one guy that says something bad, and you're like pointing
you'll
that out. I'm like,
on
dude,
that. Yeah.
Like, there's like 20 positive responses, and
dude,
like,
we'll
if
bring
you were
my
like, you know, if you're doing a research
week.
Study yeah. or something, you would like completely ignore them. But
totally.
No, instead, when it's talking about you, like, that's all you see.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
totally
this,
the same way,
this into
though.
An encounter session, but... Yeah, no. Really? You do the same thing?
Because of that, like, avoid things mostly. Like, I'll usually only look at a forum thread if, like, Sean aims it to me or something. Otherwise, I'm pretty out of there because I don't even... Because I know how it affects me, so I'm just going to be like... I know it's going to affect me, and I know how stupid it is that would affect me, so I'm going to not.
Yeah.
No. Actually, I spent entire days reading some of those boards. There's some really great stuff on our boards, and you know, even some.
Have you guys Googled your own name?
I have.
Yeah.
I try not to do that.
There's a lot of me, though. The most famous one is the construction company owner.
Sean Malloy?
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
I got Jeff Green. There's a NASCAR racer.
Yeah, you got a NASCAR guy, so.
There's a lot of Ryan Scotts.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder how many of them read magazines during their own podcasts.
Just
so,
one.
As you guys delve into Wajah territory, let me bring
Let's pull
back.
It back, please.
Wajah, this word I keep using again, is like embarrassment by proxy. So yeah. like these guys are making me feel like you feel when you watch Borat.
Hey, you brought it up, man. This is your topic.
I know. And I'm bringing this back. I just okay. want to say, like, I do want to thank, like, especially last week.
Yeah.
When we do have the people that have good stuff to say about us, they get us attention. And this week, we for a very short time at least, we're in the top 10 of iTunes games and hobbies mm-hmm. podcasts. Mm-hmm. And it's people
nice.
Like those that go out of their way and say, you know, because we were talking about this, and I, you know, like how
you I got mean, serious
we're,
love
we're
for
a
the
PC,
whiskey nerd thing.
As a PC
week.
Podcast, we don't necessarily start off with the same pool of potential listeners that we would if we were platform agnostic. And so it's cool when we're able to break that. Although that's kind of a lame excuse when I think there are like two World of Warcraft-based podcasts in the top 10.
Ahead of us, yeah.
Just like,
there's a lot
we'll
of those.
Just pretend those aren't in there. Well, but no, so I just want to say thanks to the people that like help spread the word
actually,
it's for them that I'll go out of my way every week and come up with some skit or some extra entertainment for...
Just
show up. You like it.
Just tell us you love us. No, actually, to give back to the people, I was thinking like I actually found the Whiskey Nerds Z board with the Guild Wars overlay.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
we actually found that.
Oh, the actual one.
The actual one with pizza grease
we
signed
have it
by
here.
Fatality.
So and we need to like
he,
we
did you
we,
get those FTW keys actually right, or did you make that up?
Well, you could bind it to that.
You
can
bind it to whatever
you
please.
I made that up.
I was wondering how well did he know that Z board?
So we have it here. And we want to give it away to someone, one of like those extreme listeners. But we got to find some.
Think of a worthy contest or something to make it worth giving away.
Yeah, maybe if someone like, I don't know. Let's not turn it into the damn Sing Pokemon contest.
Oh no,
know,
where, definitely
like,
not.
Prove that you're the ultimate Nintendo fan, or prove you're the ultimate.
We
usually like when we run a contest, we run it the other way. Like we had who's the biggest slime bag?
Oh right.
And Which ultimately, I think, probably inspired that whole skit, you know?
Yeah, technically.
Thanks, dudes. That, yeah, well, I mean, the whole contest to show that you're biggest, right. You know?
So how do you prove who's the biggest
whiskey
eater?
Talking about snow angels and Taco Bell, right? People send in pictures of their rooms that look like basically cesspools.
It was a theme.
All right, so maybe we should just throw up a post and kind of offer up the contest, like, if taking suggestions for next week, or we just come up with something?
Ryan,
fuck it. Well, you know,
this, like, we just fell apart here is because Ryan's pointing at the clock.
Yeah. We've been podcasting a long time.
We've been talking. Well, we started late, too.
We started, and we haven't even finished our
podcast. No, we ruined it. No, man.
Let's start over.
So, okay, whatever. The contest, let's do the usual. Give me ideas on the GFW radio.
Right.
Yeah. Not radio, GFW forums.
Yeah, I'll start a podcast. I'll start a thread to tonight or tomorrow.
To win Whiskey Nerd Z-Board.
Win Whiskey Nerd Z-Board.
And it's signed by Whiskey Nerd.
It's the Guild Wars Z-Board signed in pizza grease. So we'll send you that.
It is luxury. It is lightning.
Yeah.
Okay, so we haven't got to the Vanguard thing. Ryan's
Let's
big moment.
he's been waiting up for this all day.
Yeah, yeah. No pressure.
No pressure. basically, just to introduce it, if you haven't seen Brad McQuaid, the CEO and chairman of Sigil Entertainment and one of the lead developers, original lead developers on the game, posted a pretty massive, epic post about the state of Vanguard and where it's going, and it's a pretty unbelievable read. So
I'm sure the PR at SOE is really ecstatic about this going up.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. When you read it, you got to applaud this guy for
candor.
You know?
It, yeah.
He has always had that, and that's one cool thing about him. Yeah. He kind of lays it on the line with his game, and this is one big. I don't know what you call it, mea culpa or something.
Yeah.
It's one big.
But it's like, I mean, like, what if you said, like, hey, we messed up. Like, we printed a shit article or something, you know?
Well, I did, right? With the Neverwinter Nights thing way back.
Dude, don't even start that. We'll come back to it another time. Because, no, that's a whole other podcast then. Because, actually, when I was on vacation, I thought, I'm like, is there something I can come back after vacation to talk about? And I had all these epiphanies. I'm like, yeah, it's to come back and defend that review and the writer of that review.
Mm-hmm. The original one?
Yeah.
Let's bring that back.
We'll bring it back
week.
Another time. Yeah, but like...
Counterpoint next week.
That is definitely... Yeah.
We'll get Peckham on the phone, too.
I'm coming in fighting, Ryan.
Excited.
He's coming back swinging.
Yeah. But, okay. So, I just want to say that. Like, I don't want to shit too hard on this guy for...
Who, on Brad McQuaid?
Yeah.
Not
at all.
I mean, look. I put this on my blog, too. I blog about today. Mm-hmm. And this is not... Like, I'm not definitely not doing like a... about this game or about these developers.
Yeah.
I've wanted this game to be good. I just think it's been like a clusterfuck of like bad decision making. Mm-hmm. Some of it his, some of it the people at Sony. I think it's unfortunate because I do think that behind it all, there's like the potential for a great game here. And it's never good to see a game that's taken this long and so many resources and so many hours not do well. I don't want to kick a dead horse here now. But I do think this is interesting to talk about just because it was such an amazing post.
Oh, no, totally. And the fact that post exists, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do you see this?
I can't. And just to add on to that, I mean, like, it's not like we actually want to see any game fail. We want to, you know, mm-hmm. we don't take any pleasure in bashing something.
You don't.
I don't.
It goes without saying. But there has to, I mean, someone probably could correctly point out that there is an element of the self-satisfaction of the person who said, I told you so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And ended up telling
Look, there's so. There's threads about this McQuaid post today on the internet where there's like page after page of people going, ha-ha, basically. What a chode.
Right.
We knew this was coming.
But again,
I mean, we did know
the only
it was
reason
coming,
we
but
were able to say I told you so is because he told us first.
Well, right.
Remember from the beginning, he said, this is too soon.
Yep.
We don't want this. Anyway. This is too soon.
Yeah, he was mea culpaing before the game even shipped because he was like, we needed more time.
The only haha I did on my blog was just about the fact that people were giving a shit about our 3 out of 10 review.
Yeah.
Because I felt like, okay, well, yeah, this guy has now reviewed his own game and given it an even lower score, basically.
Right.
So
let's hop to
okay,
that.
Okay,
anyway,
that said,
all
let's
that
start
said,
this thread.
Well, I'm not going to read this whole letter because that would take the whole podcast, but. What he says, or I'll read a couple of excerpts. Brad says, SOE is in discussions with Sigil regarding the future of Vanguard and Sigil games. Talks are going well. First and foremost, our primary concern right now is what's best for Vanguard and its community. We want to ensure that this game and its community have a healthy future. Does that mean an acquisition? Does this mean more or less people at Sigil or a change in management? I can't say at this point. What it does mean is at this point that both companies agree that we need more of SOE's involvement if Vanguard is going to continue to get the support it needs to both continue to be worked on and improved and debugged and optimized.
So you can probably read between the lines there what's
and
going on.
He goes on and on pretty much to say that old EQ players will look at it and just, you know, old EQ players who now have like families and jobs mm-hmm. and not necessarily the time for a big involved MMO, and will look at it and say, oh, well, this looks like another EQ and I don't have time for that anymore. Mm-hmm. And they won't give the game another thought. Mm-hmm. And he also basically admits that the system specs are way too out of control to target.
Yeah, he actually pretty much says you're going to need to buy a new PC to play his game.
And
a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
And even if you buy a new PC, still doesn't run that well.
And the biggest thing, he says, what the game needs is a relaunch of sorts, including targeted marketing campaigns, an all-around successful move by gamers to the next generation of hardware, continued good word of mouth, viral marketing by those who are already playing, enjoying, and resubscribing.
And I think he's talking about like this happening like in a year, right? Or end of this year, something like that.
Right. He says there are arguably a lot of people who by mid to end of this year in the MMOG game space for whom Vanguard could be potentially
attractive. It's
basically
us trying
attractive.
To get into the top 10 of iTunes.
Yeah. Except we finished the podcast before we put it up on iTunes.
So
yeah,
so
we recorded half of it. We're going to record the other half later. But hey, subscribe now anyway, and we're going to patch this podcast.
We promise it'll be impressively good.
We'll give you the good hour of the show. Yeah. We'll come out.
Darren wasn't in yet, but we're going to dub all his parts in later.
So he's the man behind this game is going on record saying that it needs a relaunch.
Yeah,
of sorts.
Yeah.
So what, aside from the marketing that he alludes to, would acquisition do for him?
God knows.
Well, yeah, that's
money,
really hard,
I mean,
to
more,
say.
You know,
I mean, there's a lot of theories running rampant on the internet as it is wont to happen on the internet. Some people are saying, well, Sony's actually just going to acquire Sigil and Vanguard just so they can shut it down.
Ooh.
Which,
why would they do that?
It makes sense in a yeah. vacuum, but it doesn't make sense in reality. Given
that's like
that
the people,
Sony never shuts
that's
down
the
any
people
MMO.
From last week's Lost saying, dude, they're in purgatory. They're in purgatory.
But no, but you can. There's some logic to that, right? If Sony considers this thing an albatross and they're having to pay for the servers and pay to support this thing as publishers, and it's like bleeding money, then yeah, and maybe part of that is true. But the fact is, they're also supporting games like Matrix Online, so apparently they're willing to take on any MMO and let it run forever. So I don't see them shutting down Vanguard.
Well, it adds to their whole cable subscription model. You pay one price and you have access to this whole world, you know, different, you know, universe of games.
Yeah.
Still.
I never understood that.
And universe.
And he also talks about how, like, Lord of the Rings gets it right.
He does talk about
that's
how...
That's saying I buy into
well, it. That's got to be killing him, right? I mean, that Lord of the Rings sort of came from here, I don't want to say from out of nowhere, because it's been around forever, but it certainly had no expectations in the weeks leading up to its
came
launch.
Came from Middle Earth. That's so
yes,
dumb.
It did.
You see what I did there?
my favorite Lord
Gandalf
of the...
brought it on his horse.
Okay, that's true washout right there.
My favorite moment
see,
was seeing the my favorite moment was seeing
an indispensable word.
Actually,
to have
the washout moment was seeing it like Gandalf on the New York Stock Exchange, ringing the closing bell or whatever that was.
Yeah, we'll tell people where to get that picture.
Well, there was this picture like from Midway, like yeah. promotionally. So they had like to celebrate the launch of the Loader game last week. Mm-hmm. They had some like CEO and a whole cast of characters dressed up like they're from Middle Earth. On the Wall Street stock, on the stock exchange, for the
they were dressed up as characters.
Oh yeah, didn't see that.
Well, not the CEO, but
no,
like,
I thought that was the real Gandalf.
I was up there really with watching President Bush dance. Pure Wajah.
All right, enough on Vanguard.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to follow, see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen with Sigil or this game. It's going to be interesting to watch, and boy, this would make an awesome post-mortem game, wouldn't it, down the line?
Sure would.
To totally. Get those guys to like just talk about what the hell happened for real with this game.
Well, Brad's a straight shooter. I think he'd be open for it.
Well, we had Jeff Butler on this podcast before the launch, and he was pretty open too about what was going on. So
definitely.
What is the next chapter in Vanguard?
I had
the saga of Vanguard.
Ryan might have some reader questions, and I had like a piece of reader mail that
did,
I wanted.
Did you want to? Did you want to hit the Halo 2 thing at all, or do you want to even bother?
Hey, if Ryan, this whole time looks like he needs to get on the train.
Yeah, are you itching to get on the train now, Ryan?
Come on, Ryan.
If we have to shed you.
It's kind of late.
We're reading this.
Is it late? Are you going to be able to get on the train, or do you have to sleep in the office here now?
Oh, no.
Shit.
Hey, if you have to get on that train, ride
the train, ride it.
I think we should talk about Halo 2 next week.
Yeah, you know,
because it's not out yet.
We can keep going if you got a roll. Like, we haven't even been going. We've been like an hour, right?
Technically, yeah.
Hour and 5 minutes.
People want longer than that. That's not long enough.
Well, you know, actually, it's probably...
We gotta have stamina on this.
I gotta edit this thing tonight, too.
Actually, you know what? Let's roll on past Halo.
Okay, well, then let's roll on past Halo.
Yeah, because the shit ain't working.
I wanted to read a piece of mail. Well, not a piece of mail. Well, just a post from our board today from... Darren, did you want to read it?
Nah, you read it this time.
I'm not going to do it in a voice or anything. It's just funny on its own. This is Hombre de Tacos.
This was great.
And I have mentioned this guy before because he was one who's responsible. It reminds me now. I need to bring back Heroes of the Web. We'll make that come back next week.
You've been busy.
And he's one of the dudes who he privately messaged me, and he sounded so sincere. He's like, you know, I work in this deli, and it's a shithole, and I listen to that, you know, when I'm working, and it makes that day so much fun. So anyway, this is the deli guy.
Shout out to you.
He says, there's an understanding between my girlfriend and I that GFW is something I do by myself. It's private time, too nerdy for her. Yeah, I used to rock the podcast during work, but the man, literally an old fat white bald man, came caught me listening to it, and he made my boss stop my ear party at once. Sure, he was the doctor of the deli for the fucking
director.
Region. No, the director. Sorry, I pasted this right off of the board. So he was the director of the deli's fucking region, but man, I did not need to use my right ear as I was elbow deep cleaning a fryer. I mean, 8 hours in the kitchen stabbing poultry through the ass with metal skewers does not require an awesome sense of hearing.
what a douche.
That's kind of cool. I just like the idea. Well, I don't like the idea of that guy not being able to listen to us when he's stabbing.
If he's listening to this now, you should put your boss on the put your boss on your headphones right now. This is Jeff Green, the editor in chief of Games for Windows Magazine. Your employee has a really tough job, and he's working hard for you, and he's trying to do well. So let him listen to our fucking podcast, okay?
But he's got his hand in the chicken's ass.
He's sticking his hands up chicken asses for 8 hours.
Yeah, you
so
fucking...
So let him have a little fun, goddammit.
That's what you okay. You fucking fat fucking douche.
Thank you. Hey, that was Darren.
That was Darren.
I'm adopting a little more respectful.
Now you just got the guy fired, Darren. God. Overkill. He was like, okay, this Jeff Green customer is pretty funny. I see why he listens to this show. What the hell? Get out!
Umberty Tacos, you'll thank me later.
Called his attorney. So,
did we have any more mail?
Nope. What about Ryan wants out.
Optimus, no. We'll save it for next time.
Which one?
The reader mail above that one.
That was the one that started go ahead and read it if you want. Yeah.
No, it's just kind of like one of those.
Wasn't he the guy who asked us about if we got personally affected by?
No, he started the thread. In this case, he started the thread that if listening to the show makes you a nerd. And the answer, of course, is yes. But the guy of course, I don't think it's his avatar is really him, but it's like a fat, bald guy in a cardboard box. It's supposed to be painted like a Transformer.
Optimus Prime, dude.
It was like, dude, all like at what point like, did it really take our radio show to push you over the edge of nerd? You know? But he posted. Okay, we'll just say real quick. He asked everyone, maybe you can answer.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if we should like try
kind
to
kind of a general question. Yeah, but at the expense of making the show even more self-referential than it is. So he says, I normally listen to the GFW radio at work. Today I listened after work when my girlfriend went out shopping and hung behind me. So in an attempt to enlighten my girlfriend and hopefully get her hooked on the podcast, I hooked it up to the radio. After the champion of the web, we arrived at the first store, turned the radio off, and she looked over at me and said, okay, now you're officially a dork. Anyway, I guess GFW radio will continue to be something I do by myself. It beats going back to doing other things by myself. Anyone else have stories of GFW haters? Let's share our pain. So
Yeah, that, it took her that long to figure out this guy was a dork.
But it's like, dude, I don't even let my own girlfriend listen
right,
to this.
Right, I don't listen to my wife listen
Why
to this.
Why are you trying to get your girlfriend to listen to this?
Right, I never let my wife
how
listen
to
this.
How can you possibly explain, how, I mean, how can you possibly imagine that this is going to be entertaining to your girlfriend?
I spent all these years trying to convince my wife that I actually work. And then she would listen to this and she's like, what the hell do you idiots do all day?
Yeah. Right, I know. I always come home and say, oh, I had the podcast today. And like I imagine in her mind, she's thinking we're sitting around some like conference table with, you know, news stories. Like, you know, because yeah. She's listening to like NPR podcasts.
Don't let her hear it.
So she thinks we're talking about Bosnia or something. And yeah, we're in here talking about skin flutes.
Herpa-jerpa, herpa-jerpa, herpa-jerpa. I mean, like in the girlfriend's ear, that's pretty much what's going on. You know, once in a while it changes from herpa-jerpa to herpa-jerpa. Like, that's about it. It's kind of like your dog listening to you talk. You
know? I think you've just distilled it to its essence and I like it.
And that's for the haters, too. You can quote me on that. I just, like, I get the best summary of my own bullshit.
and there's your You're the Man Now dog soundbite.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Are we out on
we're
that
gonna, Yeah, we're going to let Ryan catch his train.
Yay.
Yay. We'll be back in a week with a lot more.
Yeah. We'll have some fun surprises. So I can tell you that right up. Well, actually, they're not surprises if I tell you they're coming up, but forget I said that.
Nothing.
There are no surprises.
Got nothing.
There will be nothing next week.
Yeah.
Next week, worst podcast ever.
No doubt.
Prophetic.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.1UP.com.